As We Stand, page 63.
Precious name, oh how sweet, of the birth and joy of it. Precious name, oh how sweet, of the birth and joy of it. Take the name of Jesus ever as the shield from every sin. Temptations round together, bring that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, open birth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, open birth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus, prostrate at His feet, King of kings can never crown You when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, oh the birth and joy of Him. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of birth and joy of Him.
Today, let's be sure and pray, of course, for Sister Parsons. Some of us were talking, and it's just so unnatural to not see her here. And so let's pray for her. I saw her yesterday, and she's getting acclimated there to Riverside. And let's pray that she will have a good time of recovery and rehab so that she can get out. You know, that's her heart and desire. And, of course, her heart and desire to be in the house of the Lord. And so she's, I'm sure, praying for us right now. So let's pray for her, okay? And just these different needs. And anybody have an unspoken request, let it be known by a raised hand. Unspoken. All right. Brother Bill, you lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the privilege that we can be in the house of God today. Lord, I pray that You'll meet with us, Your Father. Give us an unusual movement of Your Spirit today. But Father, I pray that we can leave here today thankful and glad that we've been in the house of God. But Lord, I pray that You'll be with those not able to be here, especially Sister Parsons, but Father, touch her and lift her up, dear Lord. We know this is going to be traumatic for her, dear Lord, but You have the grace, You have the strength to give her, dear Lord. Pray that You'll bless her, dear Lord. Sister Poogie, I pray that You'll bless her and give her strength, dear Lord, that she can even be back with us, dear Lord. I thank You for what You did for us all in Christ's name.
Amen. All right, let me see to pray for the choirs this Sunday.
Choir number 4. In the hymn book. Choir number 4. Behold, behold.
All I need. He is all.
gone out. I shall not forget the day when I heard my Savior say, "Come unto me, my child, I'll make you whole." Then I led my Savior in. There he forgave me of my sins, started a fire burning so bright down in my soul. It's never gone out.
It's never gone out.
Though Satan has tried many times to make me look down, but when I feel the warmth inside, I know my soul is satisfied. The flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. Since Jesus kindled the flame, things have changed, no one is the same. He let the fire in his grace rain eternal love. Down in my soul now there's a peace, joy that will never, never cease. Thank God for holy God and heaven above. The fire is gone out. It's never gone out. Though Satan has tried the warmth inside, I know my soul is satisfied. The flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. It's never gone out.
It's never gone out.
Though Satan has tried many times to make me down, that warmth inside, I know my soul is satisfied. The flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. The flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. Thank you, Mark.
All right, Miss Teresa, which book has "I am blessed"? Is it this one?
No.
You'll get that one? "I am blessed." We sang a chorus of this Wednesday night, and I just think we still need to do that. So let's go ahead and do that one. Let's let the choir sing that one. That's my fault. I'm pulling the wrong. Sorry about that.
I think it's the new folder. The new folder. The new one. The new one.
Seventeen.
The new one.
Take my
And sisters on this earth, they are mine by my new birth, and we shall share in that home beyond the sky. Let's let this be our fellowship song. You stand with me. We'll start on that verse, I have shoes. Then we'll do the chorus, and then we'll come back and shake hands. Okay, so let's stand. I have shoes on my feet.
I have shoes on my feet.
Yes,
Seated. Okay. Well, hope you had a great, great week. I hope the Lord blessed you with a lot of turkey and dressing and gravy and cranberry sauce and all. I shouldn't say that. Some of y'all might not have breakfast. But I hope you had a great time. And of course, the most, and Thanksgiving is being with family. That's really what it's all about. And ultimately, we want to give thanks to the Lord and thank Him for all His good blessings. And He has been good to us, no doubt about that. All right, you pray for Miss Teresa as she sings this morning.
I lost my way, I was hungry and cold. I could not find my way back to the fold. Went out of the darkness where I'd fallen in sin. My shepherd came, He called my name. Mercy forgave me, His grace has no end. Even though He knew where I'd been, He sought me again. Like a lost sheep, I wandered and strayed out of His will, but not out of His grace. In my desperation, in the depths of my sin, my Savior came, restored me again. He sought me again, He sought me again. In mercy forgave me, His grace has no end. Even though He knew where I'd been, He sought me again. When all hope was gone, He found me alone. He carried me home. He sought me
what people mean when they say that they found the Lord, but you know what? Really? That's not true. He did the seeking, and He did the looking, and He did the dying. So I'm glad I had enough sense to respond to this precious Holy Spirit when the Spirit of God began to work in my heart. All right, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 7. It's hard to believe, it really is hard to believe, that in just about 3 weeks it's going to be Christmas. You might wish I hadn't said that, but it is the truth, isn't it? And so I hope that you, Lord blesses you with a wonderful Christmas. And if you're alive and well and your health is good, decent, tolerable, then you know what? You're going to have a good Christmas. Your checkbook may not follow that suit, but that's all right. It's not in material possessions. It's all in Christ. He is the reason for the season. Now, this morning I want to take a familiar verse of Scripture that we read commonly at Christmas time. It's not a Christmas verse per se, but I mean we think about it this time of year. Then I want to talk about what's behind it, and then just kind of bring home thought if I can, okay? While we're doing that in Isaiah chapter 7, let's be sure and pray. We have some college folks going back. Holly, are you going back today, dear? Are y'all going back today? And she's going back to Virginia Tech, and then Bethany and Jason are heading back to Piedmont this afternoon. So let's pray for these young people, and pray God bless them, and let's pray for Miss Pam. When do you start your classes at National? Tomorrow. So she's going back to college, and Miss Nancy's doing online stuff. It's been a real blessing to her, and so let's pray for that. So a lot of people working in the college area. So let's pray for people involved with their studies. Okay? All right. Again, let's pray for us. Pray for Brother Junior. Had a good visit, Brother Junior and Miss Irma this week. And let's continue to pray for him and for the Lord to place his hand of healing upon Brother Junior. And do you have any place you got to be this week, sister? You got to go back to Duke this week, or is everything going to be in the area right here? All right, let's continue to pray for her. Do those treatments start tomorrow? Haven't set them up yet. Okay. All right, let's pray for Brother Junior, and then let's pray for Miss Parsons. I saw her yesterday. She is in Riverside, room 24. And if you get a chance to go see her, I know she'd appreciate that. And she's got a hard road to hoe, so let's pray for her. Miss Jackie, I sent her a Facebook yesterday, and she's having time with that pneumonia, but I said I hope she got to come today if she felt like it, but that pneumonia get hold of me. So let's pray for her. So lots of needs that we have. Let's pray for these things. All righty, in chapter 7 of Isaiah, look with me at verse 14. I said a familiar passage. You know this passage. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts and teach us your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, have you ever thought about it? Now, this is the verse that we talk about. It's one of the cardinal cornerstone verses that deal with the virgin birth. And that is one of the essences of the holiday season, that we know as we read the Christmas story in chapter 2 of the book of Luke, and also in chapter 1 of the book of Matthew, we understand that there is a young lady who is a virgin who will bring forth a child. And this Old Testament prophecy tells us and talks to us about the prophecy of this virgin bearing a child. Okay? Now, certain versions, primarily the Revised Version, takes the word virgin and in their translation substitutes the word woman for virgin. Now, there's nothing miraculous about that, because that's the way God intended it to be. The miracle would be if you had somebody not named Adam and Eve, but Adam and Steve, and they had a child. That'd be the miracle, okay? But now, according to the Word of God, we have, it is the norm that a mother would have a child, birth a child into this world. The miracle is according to verse 14, where it says, a virgin shall conceive. Okay?
Now, let me tell you a little bit. Have you ever wondered, for instance, it says, and the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Have you ever wondered why the verse is worded this way? Let me take a few minutes and give you some background. Why this verse? Don't know if you ever wondered why this verse was written, but it's a fascinating story in the life of Isaiah. And let me take a few minutes and share that with you, if I could, please. First of all, I want you to think in your mind, or picture, if you will, this particular scenario. Chapter 7 introduces to us a very different situation that you may not be aware of. Chapter 7 talks about the fact that there is a division, if you will, a civil war that takes place between Judah and Israel. Now, Judah and Israel are all the Israeli tribes. But for whatever reason is not revealed to us, for some reason they divide. And Israel is approached by some other nations. We could go up to verse number 1. It says, and it came to pass in the days of Ahaz. Now, Ahaz is an important figure in our drama. Okay? Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah. Now, we understand, we've already read about in the previous chapter, Uzziah. Uzziah died. Uzziah was a good and great and godly king, and there was a special relationship between Isaiah and Uzziah. And I preached on that either last week or the week before last and talked about the holiness of the Lord. But isn't it interesting? I know what the Bible teaches. The book of Proverbs says to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from them. But now, when it says to train up a child in the way he should go, does not mean that he will always go that way. If a child is taught the ways of the Lord, and those ways of the Lord are instilled into the heart of that child, you can do everything that you possibly can, but when that child comes to an age of accountability, and especially gets out on their own, you can't guarantee they're going to live the way they were instructed. Praise God for any time they ever have been, but if they're not, okay, that's the way it goes. But I thank the Lord for those that are brought up in the right way. Well, here's Ahaz. Ahaz is the son of a godly king, but he is ungodly. Okay? Ahaz is an ungodly king. And then it goes on to talk about the fact, it says that reason the king of Syria and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it. So we have Syria who has come along and approached Ahaz, king of Israel, and said, listen, we need to bump off your brother nation. We'll take them out. We will show them that they can't stand against the entire nation of Israel. Now, whatever the problem was, I don't know what it was that brought about this division, but if Ahaz is an ungodly king, it leads you to believe that the responsibility must have lied with him. All right, and so we have a problem here, okay? And then it goes on, talks about in verse 2, and it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. There is a confederacy. The Bible even says that over in chapter 8 and verse 12, and uses the word a confederacy. And there are nations that want to link up with Israel, and they want to take down Judah, okay? And now Ahaz is such a wimp and such a wuss. He's not going to do what's right. He needs to say, let's be united with Judah. But he's not going to do that. He's going to allow other nations to come in and help him in this confederacy to come against Judah. Now, do you remember in your Bible study, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, do you remember what tribe he comes from? He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You better watch out, old Ahaz. You better watch out, Syria. Well, put your hand on Judah, because that's the chosen tribe from which the Savior comes. God will not permit Judah to be wiped out of the face of the earth. And it says that it was told, verse 2, the house of David, saying, now, this is important. I'll show you in just a few moments. It says it was told the house of David. It was said to David's house, not to Ahaz. That's very important that you understand this. Ahaz is not relevant here. elephant. He is just a wicked king. Okay? And it was told to the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved, and the heart of his people as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Now in comes God's prophet. And verse 3 says, Then the Lord said to Ahaz, Go now to meet Ahaz, thou and, look at this name, Shear-Jashub. Boy, wouldn't you just love to name your child that? Can you imagine standing on the back porch and say, It's time for supper. Come on in, Shear-Jashub. Can you imagine that one? You know, I'd be just willing to say, Hey, bud, come on in. This is one of two sons. If you want to know the second son's name, you can look over just for a second if you want to in chapter 8 and verse 1. And his name is called Mahershal-Al-Hashbaz. All right, boy, that's a couple of doozies right there, isn't it? All right. Did you hear the one about the? Did you hear about the mother that named their child, their children? Terry knows this one. Lamangelo and Arangelo. Did you ever hear that? Do you know where they got the names? They got the names off two boxes of gelatin. Orange Jello and lemon Jello. Arangelo and Lamangelo. You believe that one? But there are actually people been called by those names. Okay, so some strange names out there for sure. Well, God gave these names because there was a purpose in the giving of these names. And we'll talk about them in just a few moments. So he says, go get you. Now, Shear-Jashub, his name means a remnant shall return. Very important, because there's always going to be a remnant. There's always going to be a people that will be faithful to God. Would you say with me that Israel right now is truly faithful to God? No, they're not. There is a remnant. There are a group of Jews that are in the world today that love Jesus Christ and serve the Lord, but there's a group that's not. The nation of Israel, as we know it, are not professing believers as you and I talk about it, but there's still always going to be a remnant. There's always going to be a nation. There's always going to be a representative of the Jewish nation, because it's the apple of God's eye. And God says to Isaiah, I want you to take your son. I have given him this special name. His name is A Remnant Shall Return. And you're going to go see King Ahaz. And you're going to tell him some things. It's very important that you do that. Now, where are they going to meet? They're going to meet at the end, verse 3, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool and the highway of the Lord's, of the fuller's field. What that means, all right, what's in a conduit? Water. What is water a picture of? Water is a picture of the Word of God, the washing of the water by the Word. If a person comes to know God, how do they know God? They know God because of the Word of God, the contact they have had with the Word of God. All right, where does the water come out? It comes out of the end of a spigot. It comes out of the end of a pipe. If you have a cap on that pipe, you can't get to that water. There must be a release valve. Where's the release valve for the Word of God? Witnesses. Preachers, missionaries, Christians, people are sharing the Word of God. And you've got to have, if you will, that outlet. And so they meet at the end of the conduit of the upper pool. The upper pool suggests the fact that it's heavenly places. We are in heavenly places in Christ, the Bible says, because of our relationship with the Lord. We have a wonderful opportunity that the world does not have. And it's in the highway of the fuller's field. The Bible says, if you'll run the reference to Isaiah chapter 50, 35, verse 8 sometime, you will see a reference to the king's highway or the highway of holiness. And that's where you're going to be. If you're on the straight and narrow, you're on a highway of holiness. And you are living for the Lord on that highway of holiness and traveling in the way of the Lord. And then it's at the fuller's field. The fuller's field was a place where people went to clean their clothes. Do you remember seeing documentaries how people would go to water, to rivers, or whatever, and they would take their clothes and they would beat their clothes on rocks? This was before the days of Whirlpool and Kenmore, okay? And so they would take and they'd go to the fuller's field, and that's where they'd do their cleaning. What? The Bible says you are washed. You are made clean through the washing of the water by the Word. And so this is all very carefully planned out. And God says, I want you to go and I want you to get that wicked, evil king Ahaz. And I want you to get him to come and meet you at the end of the conduit of the upper pool and the highway of the fuller's field. Because he's going to meet God today. He's going to meet God. Verse 4, and say unto him, take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of reason in Syria of the son of Remaliah. Now he's going to start talking about it. He's going to say, now you send a message, and I want you to send this message to Ahaz, because Ahaz is going to come and he's going to be afraid. If you were lost and you were going to meet God, wouldn't you be afraid? Ought to be. Did you ever wonder why some people don't go to church? They just don't go to church because they're not interested. Sometimes they don't come to church because they're afraid they're going to meet God. Now what I mean by that doesn't mean God's necessarily going to explode on the scene physically, but God will manifest Himself through the Holy Spirit in some people. Have you ever watched some lost people in church? Aren't they miserable looking? Aren't they unhappy? Don't they look like they're as uncomfortable as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs? I mean, they really are. They can't wait for that last amen. When that amen comes out, they get outside and they'll pull out a cigarette and they'll try to light. They can't even light the cigarette. They're shaking so bad. Because the power of God has met them. God Almighty has met them. And it's not a comfortable thing. And guess what? It's not supposed to be either. It's not supposed to be. And so he begins to tell him. He says, all right. He says, you get them together. And he says, you tell him. You're going to tell him something. You're going to tell him that Israel may decide to lead an attack or a warfare against its sister tribe, if you will. But he said, I want you to know something. You better not do it. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen if you do. He said in verse 5, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee. Now, Ahaz, you've got to know something. You think you're in good company. You think that these fellows have all surrounded you, and they're going to say, okay, we're going to come in, and we're going to help you, and then we're going to attack Judah, and we're going to take out Judah, and then we're all going to unite. And God says, you need to get something in your mind. They do not want anything good for you. They want you to perish. They want not only Judah to perish, but Israel to perish. And you need to keep that in mind. And God is sending a warning through the prophet to let him know what's going on. And it says, because Syria and Ephraim and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying in verse 6, let us go up against Judah and vex it. We're going to frustrate them. We're going to take them out. And let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of us, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. God says, they think they're going to come in and they're going to destroy Judah. They think they're going to come in and they're going to take out Judah and then take out Israel, but it's not going to happen. Why? Because God will not permit it. Now I want you to think, as we're going on in this story, I want you to think about what God's doing here. I want you to see that God is in control. God has said, I will not permit Syria, I will not permit these other nations to come in and overthrow the apple of my eye. There's a civil war going on right now between my children, between Judah and Israel, and I'm not happy about it. But I see the plot of the enemy. And the enemy wants to come in and, if you will, divide and conquer. But God said it will not happen. Notice that he did not say, I hope it doesn't happen. He didn't say that. Okay? He didn't say, I hope it won't happen. He didn't say, well, the likelihood of this is. And he didn't say the percentage would be. He said it will not happen. And I want you to focus on the fact that God knows this situation. God is in absolute, total control. Okay? As the old timer said, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? You can use whatever cliches you want to, but God is in control, because if He's not, He is not a sovereign God. God is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the King. Okay? And he says there in verse 8, it shall not stand, the confederacy between these foreign countries will not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria, verse 8, is Damascus. The head of Damascus is reason, and within. Now he's even going to tell them how long this confederacy will last before it breaks up. He said, in 65 years, in 65 years. Now you say, that's a long time. Not to God, it isn't. God is not intimidated by time. 65 years is almost the entire life of a human being, because Proverbs talks about 70 years, 70 years. But God says they'll be around, they'll have their little confederacy for about 60 years to 65 years. But guess what? It's going down. It's going down. It will break apart. And he even goes so far as says it will be broken, and that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim, verse 9, is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. This is the message that God said to Isaiah to give to King Ahaz. Now King Ahaz is brought in wherever, at the meeting place of the end of the conduit, and they're meeting. Can you imagine the king having to come to that kind of place? It's the king. Shouldn't you go to the palace where the king is? God says, no, you tell him to come here. You come here. You come where the word of God is. Amen. You come we're not sending missionaries to the palace. You come here where the conduit is. You come here where the water is. You come here where the word of God is. Okay? And he commanded. And you know what Ahaz did? He came. Now look at verse 10. They're meeting now. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz. Can you imagine this ungodly, wicked king? The Bible bears record to his wickedness. If you want to sometime, go to 2nd, write down and go sometime study 2 Kings chapter 16. You'll see the wickedness of this man. He was a wicked man. And can't you imagine that man being here in the presence of God Almighty? This is the king standing in the presence of the King of Kings. And he is afraid. And well, he should be. Well, he should be. And moreover, the Lord spake again to Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign. If you don't believe what I've already said in verses 4 down through verse 9, ask a sign and I'll prove to you that I'm taking care of this nation. I'm taking care of Israel. I'm taking care of Judah. I'm going to stop those nations from coming up against you. You will not be annihilated. You will not be destroyed. And just ask me a sign and I'll give it to you. Wow. Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height there above. Anything you want, ask it. Okay? Now, look at verse 12. I want you to see the most spiritual activity you ever saw anybody do in your life. For an unbeliever. He said, but Ahaz said, I will not ask. Neither will I tempt the Lord. Well, isn't that spiritual? You ever met spiritual people? I mean, people who are not saved, you know they're not saved, but when you get to talking to them about spiritual things, it's amazing how the Word of God can take them and just melt them right down. He said, well, he's shaking, his lips are quivering, his knees are knocking, and he said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. You know why? He says he doesn't know what to ask for. He doesn't know what to... What do you say when God Almighty looks at you and says, ask what you will and I'll give you a sign? What does a man like this say? What does a man who is a murderer say? What does a man who is a wine bibber say? What does a man who is a filthy degenerate, what does he say of the Almighty? He doesn't know a thing about how to respond to this question. And Ahaz says, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Why? Because I don't know what to ask for. Now verse 13 is important because it's in here. And he said, and God said, hear ye now, O house of Israel. Notice he did not say, hear ye now, King Ahaz. You notice that? Because in verse 13 he addresses the house of David. Back up in verse 2, and it was told the house of David. Ahaz is being ignored. Can I say something? You're going to think it's just as mean as it can be. But you know what? We've gotten to the place in America, we've seen so much happen in the last 2 years, it's unbelievable. There's no doubt about it on the political scene. But can I reassure you of something? That God is not intimidated by the Obamas of this world. God was not intimidated back yonder in the end of World War I and the beginning of World War II. God was not intimidated by the Mussolinis and the Hitlers. And I'm not trying to put Obama in that category. I'm just trying to say to you that no matter what's going on as far as an individual or a person is concerned, God's eyes just don't blink. And he's talking to David, the house of David. He's ignoring Ahaz because Ahaz is one heartbeat away from eternity. Somebody says, what do we do about leaders in our government that do this and do that? They are one heartbeat from eternity. And then they'll be gone. Okay? Hear ye now, house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Why don't people learn? I've learned something from history that history doesn't learn from history. People make the same mistakes all the time. They can look at their mistakes right in the face and declare, I can do better than that. But the answer is no. No one can do better than that. History repeats itself, and history tells me that I have not learned from history. And every nation proves that to be true. And it says, therefore the Lord Himself should give you a sign. Now that's why, I said at the beginning of the message, that's why He brought up the statement, I'll give you a sign. Ahaz, what's your sign? Ahaz, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to ask for, so I'm going to leave it with you, God. And the Lord says, all right, I'll give you a sign. Here's the sign that Judah and Israel will be taken care of. Here's the sign that this confederacy of foreign nations will be destroyed. This is how there's going to be a preservation of the people of God. I will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. This is why he never addresses him in verses 2 and in verse number 13. That's why Ahaz's name is never mentioned. Because Ahab is never going to live to see that virgin birth take place. And he said to House of David, I got a promise for you. And this promise is going to happen even though it's many centuries away. That is, there's going to be a little girl. And she's a virgin. And she's never known a man. And she's going to bring into this world not only a child, but the child, the Christ child. Now, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, you can hold your place in Isaiah 7. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 1 for a minute, we see the fulfillment many centuries after the death of Ahaz. Ahaz never saw the fulfillment of this prophecy. But that's okay. It's all right. Because the prophecy was given to the nation of Israel. See, God's not in a hurry. You can't time God. Well, Dr. R.G. Lee, the great old-time Southern Baptist preacher, preached that famous sermon on payday Sunday. God does pay, but it may not be every Friday. In Matthew chapter 1, we see the story. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, you say, wait a minute, I thought they weren't married. Well, there was a committal, there was a contract. That's what an espousal was. An espousal was a contract. They were as good as married, except for everything but the wedding night, if I can put it delicately. Okay. So in the marriage contract, she was the husband. He was the husband, but they had not had their relations. So therefore, she was a virgin. Okay. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example. Do you know what that meant, public example? According to the Jewish law, she should be stoned. He was within his rights to have her stoned. But he says that he was a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily, or we think of the word privately. Okay, he was going to take her off somewhere and save her the humiliation because he believed. He didn't understand everything, but he believed. But while he thought on these things, verse 20, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. Have you seen that phrase before? house of David, back yonder in Isaiah 7. Now there's a third reference, if we put the two passages together, there's a third reference to the house of David again. And says, while he thought of these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. That's the only way a virgin can bear a child, is through the conception of the Holy Spirit. And she shall, notice that, and she shall bring forth a son. There will be no miscarriage. There will be no abortion. She will bring a child into this world. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now look at verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. Who do you think that is? That's Isaiah. And the quote is given in verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Wow. Emmanuel, God with us. Now, would you, are you able to put together, I know I've gone pretty quickly this morning, giving you the breakdown of chapter 7, but can you see just a little bit of how God Almighty is in control of things? And may I use this word, intricacy? That this story is like a fine, intricate web that's being woven together. And can I say to you furthermore that only God Almighty can do that? Now, I have another question I need to ask you. Can God only do that in certain situations, or can God do that for everybody? Can God do it for you? Or is God not able to do it for you? Or is God too busy to do it for you? Or are you not important enough for God to do it? And you should already know the answers to that. If nothing else, God is consistent in all He does. That's one thing that bothers me. I hate that word. Always have. I've hated the word consistency because I'm not. I wish I could say that I'm always consistent in everything that I do, but I'm not, because I'm a human being. Now, I wouldn't want Bethany to stand up and give testimony, but nobody would know but your own family how inconsistent we are. And I say that because there'd be sometimes, maybe in years gone by, that I would discipline her when she was young for something that she did, and maybe later on I'd be too hard because I didn't feel good or I was irritable, and I gave her a little harder punishment. Then later on, maybe the very same thing she did, it was almost non-existent. And of course, she would know that. I probably would not. I would probably not even think about it. But it's an issue of the, if I may use the phrase, the horror of consistency. Because it's hard to be consistent. It's hard to always do what's right. Because as sure as you are, if you're not careful, if you don't use the right kind of consistency, you put a noose around your neck. Okay? And that's a very dangerous thing, to say the least. So we need to understand that. So here the Bible tells us very plainly that there's a prophecy, a fulfillment of Scripture, and it says a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And God can take care of you, and God can take care of me. And you know what my problem is? My problem is one thing and one thing only: unbelief. I can read that story and I can say, boy, you sure took care of that, God. Boy, you put all that, you intricately wove that thing together. But I have a hard time understanding the fact that He does the same thing for me. I just don't like sometimes the way the interweaving takes place. Because this life's tough. I mean, there's some stuff you just want to say, now, God, are you really in the middle of this? And I can't help but believe that if I were to look in the life of even a wicked man like Ahaz was a pawn. In the chess of life, chess game of life. So God's in control. God, and here's what I need to learn. Here's the lesson I need to learn. Just this simple. God, help me to understand that He is in control of my life and to trust Him to take me from whatever point A is to whatever point B is. And God, help me to stop my grumbling and stop my griping and stop my complaining and stop my unbelief and say, God, I've got to leave it in Your hands, because if I don't, I'm going to go crazy. Let's pray. Now, Father, help us. We look at this story, and it's a marvelous story of how You worked to the absolute nth degree to bring about a prophecy. You brought it into fulfillment. It was completed. It was taken care of, and not one single solitary thing was lacking. And may we see that the same God who can do it so well in Isaiah chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 1 can do it for us. And help us to acknowledge Your control and to somehow be content in the things that You're doing and understand that You are in control of these things. So guide us and direct us. Teach us Your truth and help us and give us peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn number?
125, Jesus Paid It All. 125, as we stand. Savior say, Thy strength is needed small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me Thy own in all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. White as snow, Lord, now indeed I find Thou power, Thy alone can change a leper's spot and melt a heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. My own sin have left a cleansing stain. He washed it white as snow. Thank you.
Father, seal within our hearts that we might learn the truth, the eternal truth, the great truth, the awesome truth of the controlling power of God. May we trust you, Father, so hard sometimes to do it because we want to do things in our power and our strength and in our will. But help us to see how you moved so marvelously in Isaiah's life to bring about the prophecy and the fulfillment of a great and powerful cornerstone of our faith, and that is the virgin birth. So help us in our lives, our finite lives, to understand that you're in control and to accept those things. And give us grace to do it. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to be seated. All right, we're prepared to receive the Lord's tithes and offerings. We'll ask Brother Bill and Brother Will to come at this time and receive. For those of you that don't know, Miss Pam had to leave a little early because she starts work today at 12. They're kind of monkeying around with her system because they're accommodating her to go to college, but not the way they were hoping. Brother Julius and Miss Pam, it's not the way they were hoping it would work out. So it's going to be a stress for a while. Pray with them that the Lord will take all that, take care of that, and make that a little, that'll make... It'll be rough on them, okay? Let's just pray for them. All right. Don't forget the revival meeting with Brother Mays on the 12th, 13th, and 14th. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. So pray for that. Then the 19th, I think we said, will be our Christmas luncheon, our Pullman supper lunch, and our white elephant gifts. That'll be after the morning service. No evening service that day, so keep that in mind if you will. And I believe that's the announcements for the minute. All right, Brother Will, you pray for us, please.